Thank you, Liz, and thank you so much, Georgette. The scripture reading from today is from Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14, sorry. And before I read it, I want to let you know that this entire passage was one sentence in the original Greek, and that speaks to the great exuberance of the writer of this passage. In case I don't do it justice, join with me with your imagination and hear the joy and exuberance in the Word of God. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He is the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us into the high place of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down the earth's foundations, He had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it out all before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God had planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Good morning. It is truly a joy to be with you again. I have to share with you my experience of this congregation last week. I spoke of doing lots of pulpit supply, and as a newcomer to New England, born and raised in the Midwest, I learned a little bit about the fabled Yankee reticence, the mostly benign suspicion that a new face elicits in many of the churches I visited. I am by nature a shy person, so I understand and try not to judge. I even smiled to myself when I stayed for the fellowship hour in one aging and dwindling congregation and was met with a look of shock and horror. Didn't we give you a check? Are you still waiting for a check? A member inquired, wondering why I was still loitering about. Last week here at Rocky Hill, I felt a warmth, a heartfelt welcome that I haven't experienced in the last year and a half at other UCC churches. As this morning's introit reminds us, where charity is true, God is there. And I want to testify that I have felt the presence of God here with you, and I am grateful. And I wrote that before I was offered this beautiful gift of the plate that just really touches my heart. And I'm really going to treasure it because it will remind me of the love I found in this congregation. So thank you. I'm grateful not in small part because it takes the pressure off of me to teach you anything. You know you are loved, adopted children of God. And I will talk later about the exalted and precious notion of being adopted by God. You know you are loved because your hearts are full enough to send out some of that love to a stranger, or should I say an adopted sibling you've never met. Are there any Latin teachers here this morning? Anybody? Any Latin students? Can you come up? Because honestly, I would love for you.
3 years of Latin does not.
I would, if I can find it now. What have I done here? Oh, here we are. Would you mind reading the Latin of the song that Liz read? No one else knows Latin, so you're safe.
So it's good. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, do you want?
Ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est congregavit nos in unum Christi amor. Exultemus et in ipso iuncundemur, timeamus et amemus Deum vivum. Et ex corde diliamus nos sincero, ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est, simul ergo cum in unum congregamur, ne nos mente dividador cavuamus, sesint iunci maligat, sesenta lites, et in medio nostri sit Christus Deus, ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est. Sino quoque cum betis vi eamus, gloriantur vultum tuum Christe Deus. Gaudium quod est immensum, apque pavum, sacura per infinita,
Wow, thank you. And I will take the easy part and read the translation. Where charity and love are, God is there. Christ's love has gathered us into one. Let us rejoice and be pleased in him. Let us fear and let us love the living God. And may we love each other with a sincere heart. Where charity and love are, God is there. As we are gathered into one body, beware lest we be divided in mind. Let evil impulses stop, let controversy cease, and may Christ our God be in our midst. Where charity and love are, God is there, and may we with the saints also see thy face in glory, O Christ our God, the joy that is immense and good, unto the ages, through infinite ages. Amen. And I read those words for you partially because, as I told Liz this morning, I was struggling and floundering with how to piece this sermon together. And I read very late at night that the introit was going to be this. And it really does. It really pulled everything together. So I wanted to have that in the back of your minds as I went through my sermon. And thanks again, Bob. That was wonderful. Why do I dwell on this idea of caritas, the ability to see other human beings as siblings, as family, as worthy of the same care we wish for ourselves, as possessing the same needs, the same dignity, the same value we ascribe to our friends, our loved ones, ourselves. You already know, but I'll say it anyway, because building the kingdom of God means seeing others with the heart, not with the eyes of society, dwelling on external appearances, gender, status, education, ethnic identity, even religious affiliation, but with the eyes of Jesus Christ, who offered his powers of healing to a Roman soldier, his care and attention to a Samaritan woman, his protection to an accused adulterer. Jesus could detect an open heart, willing to believe and receive God's love, hiding in any kind of body. And if we are in Christ, as the writer of Ephesians assures us we are, we can too. Last week, I spoke of my ambivalence about ordinary time and my discovery that it is a time to remember and celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, alive and at work within us, empowering us to build the kingdom of God in our midst in this moment. This week, I remind myself and you, because it's always beautiful to be reminded, of how our Trinitarian God dwells within us and gives us this abundant life of service. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest who writes powerfully about our relationship with Christ in our contemporary world, gives us some fresh context for our thinking by reminding us of the writing of Irenaeus, one of the fathers of the early church and a bishop in Lyon, France. At the end of the first century, Irenaeus wrote that far from being created ex nihilo, or from nothing, a popular notion in the Christianity of empire, the substance of the earth and its creatures carries within itself, the life of the Holy One. God, he said, is both above us all and in us all, transcendent and immanent. And the work of Jesus was not to save us from our nature, but to restore us to our nature and to bring us back into relationship with the deepest sound within creation. In his commentary on the prologue to the Gospel of John, in which all things are described as spoken into being by God, Irenaeus sees Jesus not as speaking a new word, but as uttering again the first word, the sound at the beginning and the heart of life. He describes Jesus as recapitulating the original work of the Creator, as articulating again what we have forgotten and what needs to be repeated, the sound from which all life has come. Jesus resounds the beginning. He resounds with what is deepest in the matter of the universe. The Christ story is the universe story. The birth of the divine human child is a revelation, a lifting of the veil to show us that all life has been conceived by the Spirit in the womb of the universe, that we are all divine human creatures, that everything that has been in the universe carries within itself the sacredness of spirit. If Irenaeus was speaking the truth, then ordinary time is anything but ordinary. If Irenaeus was speaking the truth, then the stuff of life that shows up during our daily routines has the potential to be fueled with extraordinary encounters with God. God is transcendent and immanent, the substance of all living things. Maybe that's why we can sometimes see God in the stranger on the bus, in the homeless woman muttering to herself as she wheels a cart of her grimy belongings down the street, in our political enemies, those who would advocate hatred and exclusion out of fear. Because we are created from divine and human substance, we can see a spark of the divine in others, or at least feel confident enough that it is there, that we can treat them as our brothers and sisters. Sometimes it is hard, though. And that is when we need to remember who we are and where we came from. That's when we need to put down our hammers and take a rest from kingdom building to make sure we are sticking to the blueprint. I know I can get the bit in my teeth when I'm feeling righteous and start hammering boards together every which way just because I like to see progress. I'm impatient. And then I realize that the blueprint in my head was for a doghouse and I'm supposed to be building the kingdom of God. Everything we do without remembering who we are, without checking God's blueprint, must be pulled apart and reworked because it isn't built from the heart, activated by the Holy Spirit and in the love of God through Christ. It isn't part of God's kingdom. We must remember what the writer of Ephesians, he was probably a follower of Paul and not Paul himself, reminds us so passionately. In that one long, exuberant sentence, he writes, "Long before God laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved son." Maybe adoption doesn't express for you the profound love that God has for us. We all have different experiences and associations with the word. In her book, Adopted, The Sacrament of Belonging in a Fractured World, Kelly Nikondaha writes that adoption is like a sacrament, that visible sign of an inner grace. It's a thin place where we see that we are different and yet not entirely foreign to one another. We are relatives not by blood, but by mystery. I believe that mystery is caritas et amor, the love of God for us, translated into our ability to love our neighbors as ourselves. Father Richard Rohr joined 23 other Christian leaders from various denominations recently to write and present a document entitled Reclaiming Jesus, a Confession of Faith in a Time of Crisis. They presented it to the White House. It said, in part, "We are living through perilous and polarizing times as a nation, with a dangerous crisis of moral and political leadership at the highest levels of our government and in our churches. We believe the soul of the nation and the integrity of faith are now at stake. As Christians, it is time to be followers of Jesus before anything else, before nationality, before political party, before race, ethnicity, gender, geography. Our identity in Christ precedes every other identity. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let us join these brothers and sisters in faith and those of other faiths as well in remembering the heart of the matter. Let us remember that in Christ, that it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for, showing Christ's love to one another. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. The Hebrew prophets, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad first appear to be nothing, outside of the system, and really of no consequence. But like leaven and yeast, their much deeper power rises again and again in every age, while kings, tyrants, and empires change and pass away. Caritas et amor, love and compassion, are powerful, enduring, and that is the beauty and joy of our lives. That is the heart of the matter.